Welcome to Taking the Rams by the Horns, a podcast that takes current affairs out of current affairs. This is an award-winning podcast in partnership with Sowetan Live. I'm your host, Rems Mabote. Thank you for choosing to watch or listen to this podcast. At the risk of sounding pedantic, please subscribe and engage. While I appreciate your patronage, platforms like this one succeed when we get more of you to subscribe and engage. It kills me every time I look at the algorithms and see how many times people watch an episode, but so few subscribe. Please look at the bottom right of your screen. There is a little icon written S-U-B-S-C-R-I-B. Subscribe! Click on it and Bob is your uncle. Thank you in advance. Now then, it is trite to mention that one of the fastest growing phenomena in the world is the concept of podcasts. There are more podcasts in Johannesburg today than there are Mamelodi Sundowns fans across the country. They come in all shapes and forms. Some do politics, others are about sex, a lot focus on sport, and many more on lifestyle and health. And then there are those that insult women, while others say controversial things about colored people. And then there is the Conversation Capital, hosted by one Eshla Meredith Mariani. It is currently one of my favorite podcasts. Eshla Mariani is a PhD candidate specializing in cardiovascular physiology and a published researcher. I don't know what that means, by the way. She spent nearly 8 years as a lecturer at Wits Medical School, where she honed her expertise in communication, teaching, and translating complex information into accessible knowledge. We're going to try and do that today. Beyond academia, Eshla is a seasoned media professional, having grown social media pages to 150,000 followers because people subscribe. And so, my dear friends, Eshla Meredith Mariani is in my studio.
Second name.
I could not wait to say that and see your reaction.
No, that one caught me off guard. That caught me off guard. I don't know who told you that.
I've got sources. I do research. You know,
I take broadcaster.
This, no, this is real work. This. You know, I may not get paid for it, but it's proper work. Ish. Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm dark and lovely. Thank you for asking. How are you?
I am awesome.
Look, and a disclaimer, right? Mm-hmm. That intro was taken from your own platform, so. It's not me exaggerating things about you. I just want to put it on the record. Even though, by the way, the mention of you coming here caused commotion in this studio. Everybody wanted to do the shoot, the sound. Where's your makeup? I mean, I told her she brings her own makeup. You don't have to do makeup.
I know everyone in the studio, so don't do that to me. These are my boys.
So I'm going to tell you a story before we get into our conversation. So I see your face. The first time I see you, one of your podcasts, then I see the name, right? Then I make my conclusion, because everybody else does. I read your name, and then one day she speaks this suit, like, what's a line?
The word
like,
suit, I'm
like,
not.
Like, what kind,
it
right?
It's a little voiceover as a thing.
Exactly, I mean, I got to find out that. So who is Eshla? Where do you come from?
So tricky. Not really. It's explainable. But when I was younger, the identity crisis that came from it. So I'll share the whole story.
Yeah.
My dad is half Malawian, half Italian. Oh. His father is Italian and his mother is Malawian. But my dad is typically, everybody when I post him, he looks very white. They call him Lohoa. And it's interesting, when I'm in a mall and I see a white man with like farmer shorts, I see my dad. Which is weird, right? But my dad, because he grew up in the villages of Malawi, he's like a black man. Like, if you know him, you know that he's a black man, you know? So that contrast on his own is so crazy.
Mariani is Italian. Yeah, right? I never went that direction at all.
Is like, it? No. Never. It's an Italian surname. Yes. And then my mom is Zulu.
Okay.
But my mom is a Zulu young girl who was, you know, part of the group that was displaced to a Sotho area.
Yeah.
Her great-grandparents my great-grandparents were displaced to a Sotho area. And so as a result, they speak Sotho, but abomazulu. So they speak Zulu. I mean, they speak Sotho And I grew up, obviously, in South Africa, born and bred in South Africa.
We're in South Africa. We are in South Africa right now.
Okay. I was born in the East Rand.
Shame,
and then
I'm sorry.
Spent. I know, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm also like, yeah, see, when I drive through, I'm like, yeah, see, sorry, little Ursh. I'm sorry you have to claim this. Joking. All the East Rand people were joking.
I'm not.
And then we moved to Cape Town. And so I grew up a little bit in Cape Town. Crazy, you know, I always say, up to today, if somebody says, surprise, we're going on holiday to Cape Town, my mom is like, ew. Because I experienced so much racism as a child in Cape Town that I actually don't like Cape Town at all. If I'm there,
you know, if you spoke to black South Africans, they think racism in Cape Town was manufactured 20 years ago. It's not something that you would have experienced when you were a kid.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's bad. It's bad. And so, I don't know about now, but like I said, I just always have those memories and I don't like Cape Town. But grew up a little bit in Cape Town and then we eventually settled in a place called the Vaal, Vereeniging. So I'm a Vaal girl.
It goes down further and further.
Further and further. And they speak even more Sotho.
Sotho. Yeah, know? I mean, that's so Lesotho. I mean, that part is on the border.
Yeah, okay, you know, we're heading towards Lesotho.
These guys were coming into Johannesburg from Lesotho. And the first lies they saw were in the Vaal. They
yeah,
stopped right
they said,
there.
This is it. So yeah, absolutely a very Sotho area. So that makes me speak even more Sotho. And yeah, I just grew up around there. I speak Sotho very fluently. I think in Sotho. I dream in Sotho.
Wow.
But I don't have any Sotho blood. I
would not have guessed.
Yeah. And because the Vaal has this nickname, Matadiana,
yes,
Italians.
Yes.
I'm like, this is...
Like, right?
Like, yes, I can claim it fully.
Now, you know, speaking of your dad and his lineage, right,
yeah,
and mixture, you know, he does not have to work hard to, you know, people would just say African-American and this. Mm. If he said Malawian, mm, it's like Malawian-Italian, right, in one
yeah,
way.
Yeah, 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 it is. I never thought of that. Wow, okay, yeah, he can.
Right.
Yeah,
okay,
but he always...
now I get it.
Yeah.
But, you know, so your intro then speaks about... something cardiovascular physiology. Like, I'm thinking,
where did you get
what
this
the
intro?
Hell is that? I mean, like,
we gotta
have to explain that to people because I read that out. I did not even know what I was reading.
Hey, and where was I when you were reading? Because then at least I would know what was in
because
there.
I didn't want to feel uncomfortable about yourself.
Okay, so that's just what I said here. So I'm doing a PhD.
Yeah. But what's that in English? I mean, like, what's
cardiovascular
physiology?
So cardio is the
okay,
heart.
I can think of cardio.
Vascular
yeah,
is the vessels.
Okay.
So all veins and arteries.
Okay.
So heart and vessels.
Yeah.
Physiology is how the body works. So specifically looking at how does the heart and vessels work?
And it ends up in the conversation capital. I mean, like, how do we put the two together? Like,
you
I
know,
battled with that, and now we end up with the conversation capital.
Sure. Okay. So, starts off with me being a student who's trying to make extra money.
Okay.
So, always been in the sciences. And then the girls around me are skinny. And they can be promo girls. So they go to Pick and Pay and they're like advertising noodles. And every time I try to get into this, the lady who's hiring looks at me and says, no,
yeah,
there's no
bad
space for you. So then I didn't know that there was that spec. Then one day my one friend said to me, I need to be honest with you. She once told us she doesn't hire anybody from size 34 upwards. And I'm like, I'm a comfortable 36.
Okay.
So, so then I'm like, oh, okay. And then it finally lands why I'm not getting these extra gigs that all the girls around me are getting. And I think to myself, okay, I need to make money.
Yeah.
And what do I know how to do? I know how to talk.
Yeah.
And a friend of mine had been a voiceover artist for a very long time. A friend of mine's older sister had been a voiceover artist for a very long time. And she says to me, you've got such a lovely voice. And it had
you
stuck with
them
me. No, it had stuck
okay
with me. I never did
I'm
anything about
asking
it. And until this moment, I remembered this thing. That, oh, God, I've got a lovely
yeah
voice. Surely, man.
Yeah.
There's something I can do with this. So I immediately go to Tux FM. And then from there, the story is history.
Oh,
I get hired at Tux FM. And through that, then I start getting voiceovers and
yeah
this and that.
Yeah.
And then, like, you know, I'm building, not knowing, I think I'm like maybe 19 or 20, not knowing that I'm building a second career alongside the health sciences. I just thought I was just trying to make a quick buck. And then now my friends that are earning 800 rand a weekend, I'm earning like 3,000 rand from 15
right
minutes of a voiceover.
Jeez.
I'm like, oh, okay. So I immediately am so grateful that I'm rejected for it. But truly, if somebody said to me, because like I don't know how many voiceovers I have under my belt now, possibly over 1,000.
Yeah.
But if somebody had said to me that, actually, you're building another career, I would have said, no, I'm just trying to make an extra buck.
Right.
And
just for a drink.
Yes, and for a drink on the weekend. That's all I'm trying to do. You're a student. You're trying to survive. And and so, no, it turned out to be such a blessing. It really evolved from one radio station to the next, from one voiceover to the next, from one MC and speaking gig to the next. And then now I look and people are like, media personality. I'm like, media? Me?
I'm just a voice.
I'm just like, okay. And then I really had to start embracing it. And I remember a friend of mine, Given, who's my partner now at the Conversation Capital. Because I used to do this thing where I'd run discussions on my WhatsApp.
Yeah.
And Given then says to me, this is a real thing. Like, people wait. I used to call it Discussion Tuesdays. Yeah. Discussion Room on Tuesdays.
Okay.
And so I would start a topic, and then people would send in voice notes. It had rules, no voice notes over 1 minute, and you could write a paragraph, and I'd take screenshots, and I'd share it on my status. And people would respond to other people, and it would be like, it actually took so much effort. It would be the whole Tuesday evening, 12 o'clock we close. So we started at 6, and then it would just go on and on. And Given said to me, why are you not seeing that you're sitting on
but
gold?
I want to go back before we even...
Okay.
But how do you then decide I want to do this? What was the motivation to start this WhatsApp
conversation thing? I think it started with me randomly starting conversations, right? And so I'd be like, guys, you know, the other day I was there, and genuinely not thinking I'm doing a thing. It's just me. Like, even now, I'll start a conversation on my Instagram story, and I don't really think that I'm... Now I think maybe I'm a bit more intentional about it, but initially it was just like, guys, I was in the mall, and this guy said this to me, and is it me or that's racist? And then the conversation starts about what racism really is and the dynamics of racism, and not knowing that, you know, you're doing something because you enjoy doing it, but perhaps that's, like, now I'm seeing how perhaps that should be what directs you, you know, things that come naturally to you. I think that's a part that was missing in my teaching of what I should pursue, of, like, things that naturally, 'cause, and also back then, who would have said, perhaps you can start conversations. Who would have said that to me when talking about career options in high school? Because I remember I was like, my mom and my parents were both very intentional about presenting all options. I remember my mom taking me to a psychometric psychologist.
To find out your type of thinking, your orientation.
Yeah, and I've always been a very strong science-y mathematics girl.
Oh.
So I remember the test results came back. And first on the list was chartered accountant, medical doctor, fashion designer. It was so jumbled up that I remember the psychologist said, I think she's young and she maybe should come back in a few years. Retrospectively, those test results were right. I'm so multifaceted that there was no way to box, you know. But it did so much damage to, like, a young girl. I just kept feeling like I'm so confused and I don't know what to do with my life. And I felt so caged, you know. And so now, retrospectively, I like telling the story because I want to speak to, like, a young girl who's in that position. And I think also in the era that we're living in, we're fed with so much knowledge at such a rapid pace. It's difficult to be one thing. Mm. You know,
we shouldn't be one thing, actually. I don't believe so.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Whereas, you know, 60 years ago, your father was a doctor. You're constantly surrounded by medical terms and medical knowledge.
His friends are medics.
Yes. You know, and that's usually how, you know, the family keeps this thing of, like, a family of lawyers, a family of doctors.
If you're smart enough, you just use your father's certificate.
Yes.
Like, you know, change names.
We heard of these stories, you know. And so, but now that's not the case. You know, you're not just exposed to what's in your family. You're exposed to so much more than that. And you learn so much so quickly. Mm-hmm. You know, you find yourself giving social commentary and people are like, hey, man, you do everything. And it's like, no, we all do everything.
We are everything.
We are everything. Yeah. You know, everything lives and breathes in us. And sometimes it's just exposure that picks one thing up from you. And so, yeah, so long story short, I was just chatting. I was really just chatting. I always found myself in those kind of conversations.
And
even if I look back at the conversations that I used to have with my friends in varsity, we're way beyond our age. And, you know, in high school, because I went to a boarding school.
Yeah.
And when I remember when other kids would...
You've had actually a very rough childhood.
No? Really?
Boarding school, the Vaal, the Eastern, Cape Town. Like,
and if I tell you, the boarding school was in Heidelberg, so very rough. Oh my gosh. And so I remember, like, kids would go outside and play. We had this thing called laps, and me and my friends would be chilling in the room and really just having this discussion. We used to call it theories, which is crazy. Guys, have you thought of it? And, like, I'm thinking, I look back at, like, 14-year-old Ursula, and I'm like, what was happening? And why didn't you see all along that that was your gift, you know? But I didn't see it. I always blame
those around us.
Yeah.
Teachers, our parents, because they're the ones who are supposed to say, actually.
Yes, this is...
You are this person. Yes. I always tell people, I don't fail to tell people, that I thank my mathematics teacher, who said to me, do not go into the sciences. And I was an A student in mathematics. She said, your personality is not meant for the lab.
Sure.
I'm always grateful to you.
No one ever said that to me.
Well, all because the we adults, all had to be doctors and all the adults, lawyers and, you know,
all the adults around me. You know, I remember the one time saying, I think I said I wanted to be an actress or I can't remember, but it was something artistic. And then my teacher said to me, you're way too smart for that. That was the worst thing she could have said to me because I carried that.
I hope my daughter doesn't listen to this.
Yeah, no.
Baby, being an actress is a great thing. Stay on that lane.
And, you know, I carried that with such a burden because then now, you know, I was watching people do what I thought was like so amazing and so cool. Like I'm still a theater junkie now.
Yep.
You know, we're just around the corner from Market Theater. They know me so well because I'm there every other Friday. And like, she really stole something from me. You know, I always think back to that teacher. I'm like, that was the worst advice you could have given a kid because she made me like group it as this thing that's not for smart people. And you know,
send that teacher a beautiful song by Fela Kuti.
Yes.
Teacher, don't teach me nonsense.
Yes. Yes, that's the song I need to send her. I don't even know if she's still alive, but you know, I look back at those things and you know, she's just one example of so many because you're in top 5, top 10, they're just like, no, you have to go into the sciences. And not that I regret it. I mean, it's not like I didn't perform, I'm doing my PhD, but now retrospectively, I'm like, it just wasn't good advice generally. You know, you didn't really lay all the true cards on the table of what was available to me and really looked at my personality. Like,
so what's primary? Are you a PhD candidate or a podcaster?
Very tricky still. Like I said, I'm building these things alongside. During the week, I'm a PhD candidate.
Yeah.
I'm a PhD candidate. Yeah. I'm in the lab, you know.
Yeah.
Make no mistake.
I spot any gray hair there.
I'm working really hard. And then over the weekend, I'm podcasting. Over the weekend, I'm curating conversations. And
does this look familiar?
It does. Is that the prop that
I couldn't help myself?
I should have come with my makeup kit.
I'm shocked. Where's your ring light? I'm like, you know, like I'm really like...
So funny. So funny. Is he roasting me on his channel? Did I come to an unsafe space? I feel so roasted.
Sorry about that. I had to look good for.
Okay, so how that comes about? Because everybody's like, why are you doing your makeup on screen? Because it's my screen. And one of the things was that we would, while I was getting ready for the guests on shooting, because we all work in the team.
Yeah.
So it's a team of three.
The faceless people also work.
The faceless people,
right?
Yes, they do work.
Hello,
Hi, guys. So we've got Bonga Bueta, who is in HR, and then the Given, who's our tech guy, and he also comes on to screen often. And so he also, I don't want to say the company that he works at, but yeah, he works.
Yeah.
And so as a result, we shoot on the weekends. And it's been crazy. Like, in the beginning, it's funny. It's like, ha, ha, ha. And then, like, we really start, like, realizing that we're dedicating our, and you start missing weddings and birthdays and stuff. But, you know, it's still something we enjoy doing. But yeah, so we do that on weekends. And so while we were getting ready every time for a guest and I'd be putting on makeup and we'd be chatting, Given would say, man, you know, these conversations should be on camera. Man, these conversations should be on camera. And that's how
Ready
With Me segment came about. Crazy thing about it is that, so it's just one of, let's say we shoot 5 episodes. It's just one of 5 episodes, right?
Yeah.
So it technically makes up 20% of the whole podcast. The rest of them are interviews. But people were enjoying so much the candidness of them that they're the ones that go viral.
That's why I did what I did.
And so everybody thinks she's a makeup girl. And I actually hardly wear makeup. And I just became my label, you know. And I was just like, okay,
amazing.
I'll take it because I love makeup. It's beautiful.
Right.
And so, yeah, so it was just really interesting. But it always reminds me that the podcasting industry is really a place for candidness. Yep. And so often people will send me their material. Hey, Ursula, please watch this and give me pointers. And the moment I see them trying to be, you know, Leanne Manners or Rams?
Me?
Mm-hmm. I'm like...
Cut!
I always think to myself, no, stop.
Well, then that leads me to... I'm amazed how you managed to go to where I was going to go, okay. Right? Because I was going to say, how would you describe the conversation capital? What is your content? What is the nature? What is the image of your content?
Okay. Right? I love this question.
Yeah.
And it has to be answered in a conversation to show that it's a conversation. So the conversation capital is, I always say, imagine you are sitting under a tree with your friends and it's tax season. And one of your friends does tax.
Yeah.
And you guys start talking about that. And you're like, you know, actually, I don't know this sort of thing. And how does it work? And then another friend walks over and you're like, ooh, that foundation is so nice. What foundation is that? And they say, no, you know, I use Estee Lauder Double Wear. Like, oh, it's so pretty. In fact, it's actually on sale right now at whatever have you. And then another friend says, ah, guys, you know, I'm actually not feeling too well. My grandmother passed away. And we start talking about the 5 stages of grief. That's what my podcast is. It's sitting under a tree with your friends. And so we go through different seasons. The topics come from the three of us living life. You know, the two, Given and Bonga, are both parents of same age. One of the babies was born in our first year of the podcast. One of our babies was born in November. It's Asa who was born in November, and I was born in August. So our babies are 2 months apart within the team. And so we go through the different stages of parenting as they experience them. So in the group, Given will say, Bonga, have you experienced, you know, they're now picky with clothing. Then in the next Get Ready With Me, we discuss how, you know, what is it like to now be raising a three-year-old. We discuss the dynamic of Bonga being a mom and Given being a dad. And what does that mean in society? You know, what are the privileges that are extended to Bonga that are not extended to Given? And then the next time we're discussing, you know, workplace toxicity, because maybe one of us could be going through a toxic environment. And that's just how it goes. And then now it's
that men are not interested in sex all the time.
And you know, those are really the conversations
stuff, right?
That come up.
I don't know which men are those, but yeah.
Those are real conversations that come. I mean, we had a sexologist. You're speaking to the sexologist, and Given was the one who had had a conversation with the sexologist and said, I need you to come onto our podcast.
Yeah. You bring amazing guests into your podcast.
No,
and I promise you.
It's our community.
You know, it's like, but my suspicion, right, and I'm not going to allow you to be modest here. I think a lot of times we attract people who want to be in our spaces. So they would have seen what you do. So when you ask for them to come through, it's like, actually, it would be nice to be there. It's not difficult to get them on because they would have seen your work. And they think it resonates.
But everything starts somewhere. Don't despise small beginnings.
Of course.
Because if I think about our first few episodes, in fact, I can easily say for the first year, it was just our friends. It was just one of Bonga's friends is a lawyer. Hey, Tom, come talk about this new law.
Yeah. But they've got credentials. They're a lawyer.
Yes,
they're not just coming just because they're friends.
Yeah, shame, true. Like, clearly, we've got a good group of people around us. But I remember for the first year, it was just one of the first conversations, I think it was the second podcast we've had. So the first podcast we had was a lawyer who came to talk about the new Fat and Set rule had come where the woman had won the case she proved that this deceased man had been taking care of her, and the family tried to keep her out of. And she was like, no ways, guys. We were not legally married, but I was beside this man till the end. And the court ruled in her favor.
Rightfully so.
Yes, and what does it mean then? So a lawyer came to come debunk that. And then I knew a friend of mine who had been Fat and Setting in China with her boyfriend, and she had just moved back. And I said, actually, your stories are so funny. Come and talk to us. And that's the first one that really, you know, people really like caught on in the head, because she's a great storyteller.
Yes.
And honestly, I'm surrounded by amazing storytellers. In fact, if you can't tell a story, our friendship is not going to go very far. You know, and so then that one does really well. And so that's just where it started. It started with like just the community of people around us, and the following time we recorded, it was another very close friend of mine and a very close friend of Given's. And then before you know it, our emails are flooded with people saying, this is my story, this is why I want to come on. And, you know, we've been through many learning curves with regards to just because somebody can, some people are very good at writing stories, mm-hmm. but not narrating them.
Yeah.
And so at first we would jump on, we'd see a really cool story in our emails, they come through. And the person then comes on and they speak like a log.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but also
there's a camera in front of them. That changes a lot of things. Line.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so that's why I always encourage my guests to come in for the whole day.
Yeah.
I'm like, just chill with us. So that's when the cameras go on, they're not anxious.
Oh.
You know, so my thing is we shoot the whole day. All the guests come through, have some food, have a drink. We're chatting even while sitting up.
I could never afford that. Like, the people I invite, they take themselves too seriously. Like, I've got only 30 minutes.
Yes,
like,
you know, like, true. Yeah, so. I've got another podcast called The Research Bay Podcast, and it was now academics.
Yeah.
So me trying to merge my two worlds somehow. Because I was sitting at an academic...
they can't speak English academics.
No, excuse me. So that's just why I started the podcast. So I was sitting one day at an academic conference, and I'm looking at the amazing work that's been done in medical research. And I'm saying, what a pity that when we say we've promoted our work as an academic, we've put it in an academic journal, and you need to go to Google Scholar. Half the population doesn't know about Google Scholar.
In the conference, it's a PowerPoint in words.
Yes.
That's always the 12,000 words per slide.
Because I have a gift of like interpreting complex information to simple information. That's why I'm a teacher. You know, so I was like, no. I'm putting this gift to use because so much amazing research is really just ending up in the world of researchers. And so I started another podcast. But to go back to having important guests, now I've got professors and, you know, serious people.
In suede jackets.
Who can only give me 30 minutes of their time. So I know what that's like. But TCC is not like that.
Yeah.
You know, the vibe is completely different. Yeah.
And I love TCC. I'll tell you why I love TCC. Right. So I'm tired of everybody trying to educate me about the serious stuff, you know, about like, you know, got to know this is how parliament works.
And
those things are very important.
Yeah.
But I think there are issues we're not talking about in a lighthearted way, in a way that I'll understand them. Mm. I'll appreciate a view that I never thought about from somebody else. You know, I may not agree with it.
Yeah.
And I find those conversations so enriching. Like,
absolutely.
I never thought about this. And it comes to me so easily. I mean, I'm doing something. I've got my pods in here and I'm listening to you guys. Yeah. You know? I don't watch much because every time I watch you putting on makeup. But
every time. I just said 20% of the time. He's here to troll me and I'm not going to have it. But, you know, I like what you're saying because it's just that, right? People are listening to you and they're listening to things that... Because what I say is interesting is that we're all fronting intelligence. And that's why I seldom talk about the cardiovascular element and whatever, because I'm not trying to pretend to be intelligent or smart. And we have enough of that in the world.
But you are.
No, we have enough of that in the world. For me, it's like the truth is the conversations that we're having on the conversation gap are what plague 90% of your mind all the time in your real life. So you can be in some, I don't know, maybe you like sit as a journalist in in the parliament and you do some fancy job. But at the back of your mind, you're thinking to yourself, oh man.
Ziwapi this weekend.
Yeah, maybe. Okay, we don't talk about Ziwapi. But perhaps you're thinking to yourself, you're thinking about an argument you had with your wife and you're wondering, how can I meet the balance? Mm. Or you're thinking about how you don't get an opportunity to parent as much as she does because society is so much more lenient when she says, I need to pick up my kids. And you can't really say that at work.
Mm.
You know, and that's actually what you're thinking about. But when cameras go on, you have to discuss, you know, all things fancy.
Must change the world.
Exactly, you know. And so you're right. I like what you're saying because this is the fact of the matter. I mean, and not to take away from the great work that's being done and the systems that keep our system running. I mean, the most recent episode we had on the Conversation Capital was us at the Gauteng Provincial Legislature. Mm-hmm. And it was just that. I was like, I want people to know what the legislature is.
Yeah.
And in a real way, you know, don't hong it out. I want you to genuinely, like, explain to me, like, the people that it affects.
Because it's hidden.
Yes.
Firstly, by the word itself, legislature. That word hides so much behind it.
Like, what is legislature? We're going to get into this discussion because I absolutely love it. Recently... Anel Mdoda, it won't be recent when this airs, but recently Anel Mdoda and Helen Zille are having a scuffle.
Oh, man.
All right? And one of the biggest comments is, you know, Anel didn't have, you know, the right wording and she didn't know, I think it was one of the corruption scandals.
Yeah.
And I was like, I never comment, actually, on these things, but I was so, like, maddened by the conversation because there's this way that people want to keep 90% of the community and people out of the conversation, mm-hmm. those that don't know the jargon.
Yeah.
And so they intimidate us by saying, oh, what do you know?
Yeah.
Name the corruption scandal you're talking about. And now you want us to quote dates as if you're some kind of journalist. I'm not, but I'm a voter.
Yes.
And I want to know.
And also, by the way, it has to be said, right?
Yeah.
Helen came to Anelem Dodos. Sure.
Yeah.
This is not a political show. She can't be expecting her to be speaking like Clement Manyatel.
Yes.
You know,
and Anel is speaking in the way that her
you
audience
chose
understands.
To come there.
Yeah.
So,
absolutely.
Please, I mean, I defend her.
Absolutely.
To death.
Absolutely. You know, and like, it just reminded me of how many people are shut out of the conversation, even to the point where somebody goes to a doctor and is fearful to ask questions.
Yeah.
Right? You're the expert. Right? So I can't go to a doctor and say, explain why I've got a flu. What happened? How did I get a flu? Yeah. And he says, oh, no, you don't know enough. I don't know enough. Like, I'm here. I'm paying for this. Yes, I'm paying for this.
Yeah.
You better be able to explain. Albert Einstein says, if you can't explain it simply, you don't know it well enough.
Yeah.
And that was the opportunity for you to explain simply to the people that are supposed to vote for you what's happening.
She spoke to Anel instead of speaking to the listeners.
And
that's where she made a mistake.
For me, I actually don't want to just focus on that one conversation. For me, it's really just generally when you ask questions and people try to intimidate you into feeling too daft to ask the question, the problem is that person, right? Because surely you can explain to somebody who's not a politician, you know, because Anel is asking on behalf of, we're using the word Anel, but I'm asking on behalf of a population of people that aren't politicians. Some of them are teachers. Mm. So, and they're not consumed by this.
Young people, the majority of South Africans, young people are listening to that show.
Yes,
right?
And at the end of the day, these are the people that you're calling on to vote for you. Speak to them, you know.
Did you think it would get to this? I mean, yeah, you did the first few interviews and you started seeing there's a bit of trajectory. This is getting exciting. I'm seeing responses. But did you think on this day, in October 2025, the TCC or TCC would be where it is?
Absolutely. I say no, but I wonder if I'm telling the truth when I say no.
Probably wished for, but did you think
no,
it would get?
Let me tell you. I think in my head, because I had started many things, right? And not started as officially as TCC, but I'd played around doing many fun things. I think I always saw it as a hobby more than what it's become now. Now it's a job. TCC is a job, you know. We're producing a product now. But I didn't see it that way.
Do something that you enjoy and you'll never work again.
A day in your life. Yeah, you know. And so I remember the night that, so Given had kept saying that we got cut off with the story. Like, oh, shit, this is the thing. And then eventually he came to me. I was working at, for iTalk Youth. I had a show called iTalk Youth with Ursula at Voice of Vitz.
Okay.
It was a Wednesday night. It was an hour. And I remember saying, phew, I need this show. That part of me, that creative element that loves curating conversations, has a release, you know. And I hadn't had a show in a while. And he drove from Pretoria to come see me. And he was like, I want to sit in on this show because I want you to see what you have on your hands. I'm telling you, we're onto something. Let's start something. And for the first time in months, he managed to really convince me.
Wow.
But I'm the type of person that when I'm finally on board, so I start making calls. I'm like, guys, we're starting something big. We're starting something, but jokingly, you know. And I can easily say, I think within the first 3 or 4 months, our clips start, you know, really making the rounds on social media. And then, like, as the team, we look at each other, we're like, okay, we were joking, but this is actually, we're actually onto something.
Wow.
Yeah. So would I say that I knew? No. But I jokingly kept saying, we're onto something.
But you know, almost 50% of the men watch because of you. Like, we don't hear anything. We're just watching you. Okay, that's not true.
Do you
true.
Feel the same
I,
way?
No. I listen to the conversation. I don't even watch. I told
you
when
don't
I
even
watch. You're busy doing stuff.
So
but,
is this
but
true?
I listen.
Then why do you say that, Reps?
Well, you know.
Why do you say
it's a roast,
it? Do you say
isn't
it because it's a clickbaity and.
Right? People like
say,
that part.
Yes, they're going
to
like
do a
that
social
part.
Media clip
actually,
on that
let's
part
just
especially.
Cut this part out.
But you know,
this is an unsafe podcast. I thought this place was safe.
We're very serious here. It's a very serious podcast.
Yes.
You know, we changed the world. Have you ever walked out of any conversation and feel like could have been better?
All the time.
Mm. Not about you, but the guest did not give you what you had hoped for.
All the time. All the time. Sometimes even me.
Well, I think we feel like that about ourselves all the time. So I don't even want to go there.
Yeah, true.
Like, I mean,
yeah.
Write a book and I finish it and I think, this is not good enough.
This is not good enough, yeah. You know. But there are times where really it wasn't good enough. And recently, because I'm somebody who I hate cancelling on a guest on the day, I understand that my guests will hire a makeup artist in the morning before they come to my show. Yeah. They've gotten an outfit ready and, you know. And so I never cancel on the day. I haven't to date. But I recently had like a tooth infection that was the worst toothache I've ever had in my life, you know. I remember at some point I'm getting ready, I'm showering, and Bonga walks into the shower and she sees me like crouched on the floor. And she says, "Why are you doing this? We can cancel." And I say, "I'm not canceling. Bring me 2 diclofenac and Panado and let's keep it going," you know. And she's like, you know, she closes the door and I hear her say to Given, "Hey," she's still forcing, but she's crouched on the floor. I was in so much pain. And so we do all the guests. And now when we're watching it back, I see that I took it too far. I didn't perform at my best because I was in so much pain. And this principle kept me in a weird, you know, when a principle that you have for yourself almost shackles you, mm-hmm. more than liberates, mm-hmm. you. And I saw that I had done the wrong thing.
Yeah.
So a lot of the guests have said, "Please come back. I'm so sorry that I forced so much to do it on the day." But when I watch the interview, like, I'm in excruciating pain. I'm like this, like, I'm not like hearing. Bonga's actually filling in more than she needs to.
Do you know how much respect you earned from those guests that you did this in that condition and then you said, "Can we do it again?"
Yeah.
You actually pushed yourself this hard.
No.
Because they would have said, "No, you have cancelled." Of course they would have been, bloody hell.
Yes, right? Yeah. True. Yeah. If you cancel, people don't understand. I hate being cancelled on the day of something, you know. Yeah. I'm like, no, cancel on me at least 48 hours before. I've got a life to live, you know. And if I'm coming to you, it means I'm not going to something else. And so I hate being cancelled. But yeah, that day I realized that sometimes you must also don't be shackled by your own decisions, right? But that day was the day where I looked at the interviews. We only aired one because one girl said, "No, I can't come again." And we aired it. But I look at it and I'm like, phew, I'm not performing at my best here.
Well done. Well done. But put yourself first.
And other times, I realize how we're different as an audience. Where I'll receive a guest with like, "Oh my gosh, this is the greatest guest I've ever had." And my audience is like, meh. And I'm like, meh? Really? You know, and just reminds me, the internet reminds me that people are so different.
Yeah.
We all, you know, and then there'll be other guests where for me it's meh. And my audience is going crazy. And I'm like, you know, and it's just such a reminder that you don't know it all.
We don't know it all, right? And people are looking for different things.
Yes.
You know, even your audience are different people. They're looking for different things.
Absolutely. Yeah.
What's next?
For the conversation capital.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, we've definitely started taking it more seriously. There was a time where I started taking it more serious, so seriously that I started getting nervous to do my own show. But we go through different
phases. True. You actually are laughing less in the latter episodes than were when you began.
And my first episodes, I used to hold wine. I used to be like,
you're laughing. So you start small. You're smiling when you start in intros and stuff. But once you start getting into your chat with your guests, now you're becoming this serious. I'm thinking, what happened to you?
No, I think I am still like I
have
laugh
some
a lot.
Wine, please.
Yeah, I have some wine. I think I still do laugh a lot and whatever. But there was a time where like I really started taking myself way too seriously, and then I saw that I was losing the element of podcasting.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, enjoying the conversation as much as you can and you would in real life, because people can tell when you're not in it.
Mm-hmm.
But now, outside of that element, we are taking it more seriously. In the sense that, obviously, you know, like now brands approach you and you start thinking along those lines and you're like, okay, how can we structure this better? Like I said, at first, it was a lot of like things that we're going through. But then what happens when I'm constantly going through a struggle at work? Now 3 conversations are about work. And so now we've started structuring to, you know, like, okay, a percentage needs to go to finance. Another percentage needs to go to profiling people. Another percentage needs to go to health, beauty, and wellness. And so we've started categorizing. So not to limit the conversations, but to ensure that there's a lot of diversification of the conversations. It's just that element of like, you know, being a lot more structured in our approach in planning, but not the conversations.
Yeah.
The conversations need to be as free flow and comfortable as a conversation would be. But definitely, I think we're all taking it a lot more seriously. It's a business.
What's going to happen when that one afternoon, maybe evening, maybe even morning, somebody pats you on the head and you walk on the other side as Dr. Ashla,
mm-hmm.
Mariani?
It's coming.
What happens then? I mean, gee, my fear is that then you then thinking, no, man, I should be doctor, not be doing this stuff, this stuff that has attracted all of us into your space.
Hear me now. That is never gonna happen.
Thank you.
The conversations are my joy. You know, I am addicted to my phone. Where's my phone, actually? I am addicted. My phone is always, always on me. When it's shoot day, even now I don't know where my phone is. I can't find my phone.
Good.
That's how much I get consumed by what I'm doing. And it's such an indicator to me that this is where my heart is. The only element is now merging of the tools, hence the other podcast. I haven't launched it yet, guys, but it's called Research Bay. Go subscribe in the meantime. And just trying to find a way to bring in that element.
Way. Subscribe.
Even now. Like, right. Why aren't you subscribing right now to Ramses podcast? Actually, guys. Nisili, guys, actually. And so, you know, just merging those two spaces. But I think my gift to the world will definitely be taking conversations and bringing it to the layman, and hence I was so offended by people being upset with Anele having layman conversations. I'm like, why do you always want to shut us out the conversation, you know? And so not just in the science space, not just in the business space, not just in entrepreneurship, finance, I'm here to say, let's have a relatable conversation that people can hear and understand. When we say tax season, what does it mean? And genuinely understand what it means. And genuinely understand why I need to pay SARS. And genuinely understand why you get a rebate and this and that, you know. And I don't want to front. I don't want to leave this earth having fronted conversations. No. Where it's like, hong, 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 hong. And 90% of us didn't hear it. And 90% of us were excluded from
this
the conversation.
This is not about Naledi Pandor, guys. Just for the record.
I even forgot that comes from that. Oh my, I say it so much. If you listen to my podcast, you know that I say it so much. But basically, it points towards like not being able to hear the conversation. Yeah. You know, like that's the legacy I truly want to leave in this world, of somebody who genuinely said, Mr. CEO, talk to me like I'm a person. Yeah. Talk to me like I'm my tutor from next door. Like, explain to me properly, you know?
I should have probably asked this much earlier, and I remember it just at the end. Was there ever, and I'm going to do a disclaimer before I ask the question. You black, you female, generally South African also. I'm sure there was a moment.
Of generally South African. My ID doesn't say generally South African.
I don't trust South African IDs, so it's fine.
So it's fine. Actually, I said what I said. Generally South African.
Everybody has it, whether they're here or not.
That is so funny. Yes.
Was there a moment of imposter syndrome? Like, I shouldn't be doing this. I'm not qualified to do this.
I have imposter syndrome all the time.
Even now?
Even now. But I'll tell you, if anybody's going to do it shaking, it's me. Bonga laughs all the time at how I'm willing to do something trembling. I'm willing to ask a question. I'll give you an example. I have imposter syndrome even in way I'm like an expert, technically, on paper expert, right? So I'll be sitting in an academic conference and just have a burning question, right? But wondering if I've got the right academic jargon for the question. Wow. You know, and this is somebody who's doing their PhD, but I'm like, yo, do I have the right academic je ne sais quoi for this question? I pick up my hand and I ask the question shaking. And I'm somebody who, when I'm shaking, my voice trembles. So it's quite evident to everyone that she's not comfortable. But, and I've always been like that. I've always been the person who's like, I don't take away from the fact that I'm nervous. I don't take away from the fact that I feel like an imposter, but I'm not going to go into the grave with regrets of not doing stuff. That's a label that you'll never leave with me. Like, ish, I ended up saying hi. Me, never. We're forging forward. And I laugh at myself sometimes afterwards at how I've taken a risk on stuff that I'm like, I actually really wasn't ready. It wasn't just imposter syndrome. I actually really wasn't ready. And then there are other times where I'm on the other side and I'm like, I'm so grateful I didn't let imposter syndrome get the best of me. So anybody who comes to me and says to me, oh, Osh, I'm nervous. I'm like, you better do it nervous. Like, I'm not giving you a chance. Any friend of mine who needs that kind of, they know I'm the person to call who's like, we yet are it to Melan too, but you're moving forward. Because,
well done.
Yeah, who wants to go into the grave saying I didn't do it because I was scared? That's whack. I'm not a loser.
Nobody speaks in the grave. But anyway, I hope.
But yes,
nobody speaks
but imagine
in the
deathbed.
Grave.
Okay, let's say deathbed.
Yeah.
You're at your deathbed and you think of all these great opportunities that you let pass you by because you were scared. I'd rather walk onto stage with my knees clanking. It's okay. I walked.
You know
though.
What's going to happen on my deathbed?
Uh-huh.
I'm going to be so grateful. There's uh-huh. somebody I'm not going to be able to pay and I'm going to die any moment now. And the loan is going to be, it's going to disappear. I'm broke.
Yo.
I also.
Aye. Guys, Rams is problematic. And then the banks are listening. Yeah. The banks are listening to you.
I wanna thank you for three things, mm-hmm. other than the fact that you honored me with your presence.
Yeah.
Right? I want to thank you for listening to the other voices that said, do this.
Yeah.
Right? Because if you hadn't, we would have lost out on so much.
Thank you.
I want to thank you for the content, because I promise, I know mm-hmm. how much I have enjoyed a lot of stuff that you talk about. Some of the things I know, right?
Yeah.
Then I move on.
Like, yeah.
I know about textbooks, mm-hmm. I don't pay it very
yeah.
well. You know? You know, but other conversations I sit there and I think, wow, mm-hmm. right? But lastly, I just want to look at yourself in the mirror today and remember what you've just done. You have actually made it possible for people to not be one-dimensional. And it's so important.
Thank you.
People think I'm an accountant, and that's who I am. Mm. I mean, you know, the only people who are multidimensional are politicians. They steal, they lie. All of us are one-dimensional, right? And I want to thank you for that.
Thank you.
And thank you so much for being my guest.
Sure, thank you.
It's been wonderful
you.
Having you
thank
here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Ashla Meredith Marianne, the podcaster, the host of The Conversation Capital. Amazing. Thank you so much. Remember, I'm going to say it again. Subscribe. Engage. It is very important for what we do. In fact, while at it, please subscribe to The Conversation now. The Conversation Capital. It's very important. Even if you don't subscribe to Taking the Reins by the Horns, I'm so used to it by now. You guys don't subscribe, but this you must subscribe to.
No, subscribe, and also don't forget to talk about your
when
book.
When all else fails, then that you can't press subscribe on your device, at least buy this book. It's a bloody good book. Trust me, it's written by me. It has to be good. The sweetest taboo. From me, Rems Mavote, goodbye and God bless.